like faster and looser than the regular podcast, which I think is totally fine.
Yeah, just go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, so 3, 2, 1. Hey, welcome to a special edition of Raging Chicken Radio's Out to Coop podcast. This is the editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press, Kevin Mahoney, and I'm here with Sean Kitchen today. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right. So Sean had the suggestion, and I thought it was a fantastic idea, is that, you know, the PA primary was yesterday. This is Wednesday, April 27th, and the PA primary was yesterday. And we thought we'd do a little postmortem of the primary. There were certain aspects of the primary that kind of turned out just as we expected. However, there were some surprises, and there's been some kind of blowback in the aftermath of it. So just thought we'd just kind of run through a little bit about that, throw this up as an extra episode. And I want to let everybody know too, as well, is that we are now on Podbean too, as well. I think Podbean is going to be our go-to site for the podcast. And so please, you get a chance, go check us out over there at Out to Coop Podcast. Check us out on Podbean. Go to RagingChickenPress.org or go to our Facebook page, and you can get the link directly for the Podbean there. But I think we'll be able to do some cool stuff with it, especially because there's a fabulous mobile app that a Podbean mobile app that makes it really easy for people to subscribe and to embed the content and so on. But, you know, we'll get into that at another point. So, Sean, just to start out, just kind of give me your takeaways from last night. I mean, it was quite a night for sure.
It was. Well, I was asleep most of the night. I fell asleep a little bit early today, just from yesterday from work. But looking deeper into the results this morning, I'm getting the sense that the rural parts of our state are tired of being left behind.
I think that's right.
You know, Sanders took a lot of people, a lot of the counties in the middle of Pennsylvania, where there is not a Democratic stronghold. And then John Fetterman ran a campaign blasting or trying to promote what's happening in Bradford, Pennsylvania, where he's from, and also the plagues that rural Pennsylvania and a lot of our smaller cities outside of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia experience. And I think those are two of the biggest things, and that's really like why we do the Raging Chicken.
No,
you know, why we're based out of Lehigh Valley and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And I have to say this is like I have been talking about this for as long as I've lived in Pennsylvania, to be perfectly honest with you. But I've always, I know we've joked about it even on the podcast before about, you know, Pennsyltucky or Pennsylbama, whatever, whatever we're talking about it. But, you know, everyone wants to talk about the T, you know, that is Pennsylvania, that you've got, you know, the major urban centers in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and then everything else is kind of like Alabama or Kentucky in between. But the fact is that there's a really different tradition in Pennsylvania, right? You know, this is a coal mining state. This is a steel production state. That you had some of the strongest union density of any state in the union here, right? And a lot of that kind of union ethic, that working class ethic, was not confined to the cities, you know. And I think we do ourselves a real disservice when we just reinforce that kind of narrative, because it's the same narrative, it's the same story that leads the Pennsylvania Democratic Party to virtually ignore the bulk of the state. And run and not even contest elections, because they already assume that the Republicans are going to run away with it. But you're absolutely right. When you look at the map of last night's results, particularly for Bernie Sanders, right? When you look at Bernie and John Fetterman, for that matter, but particularly for Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders carried virtually the entire state when you're looking at geographically. Right now, obviously, it's not in the population centers, but you get a sense that the message that John Fetterman was bringing to this campaign about communities that are left behind kind of bore itself out in those results. I mean, I think it was pretty incredible. And the fact is that the polls were, I mean, so far off when it came to the Senate race. I mean, you know, we talked about this in the podcast on, you know, from yesterday. Is but you know the what was it here? The Real Clear Politics average, right, had Sestak up right by 6.3 points going into the primary, and they had Fetterman down at 7, right? Fetterman walked away from this with 20+% of the vote. I mean, it was pretty incredible, and it came from those exact areas. So I mean, you know, does that gel with kind of like your takeaway?
Absolutely. You know, like last night or yesterday morning, I got up at like 7:30 in the morning. Voter turnout was pretty high already at my polling place in Harrisburg. I was number 85 to walk into the polls at 7:30 in the morning. And I didn't make my decision on the Senate race until I walked into that booth. Mm-hmm. I was basically like, am I going to vote for Sestak? Maybe. I mean, I was like, you know what? No, I just said, screw it. I voted for Fetterman because he's representing the future of the party. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about issues that Democrats need to be talking about, especially leadership in Harrisburg. There's a reason why, I get it. You're not going to contest in some of the races in central Pennsylvania, in the tier, in that going through the northern tier, in the central tier, whatever. But there's a reason why there's not even a single Democrat out in these areas until you hit Jonestown, 100 miles west of Harrisburg, or until you hit Pittsburgh, which is like 150, 200 miles west of here. There's a reason why you don't see any Democrats out there, is because they don't target those areas, and they don't run on that economic populist message that right. Sanders, Fetterman, and Donald Trump ran on. I mean, Donald Trump is running on a populist message. You might not agree with it. I don't agree with it, but he's running on that message that white working class voters who have felt like they've been left behind are just eating up in the central Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's not this crazy conservative, you know, religious thing, that religious conservative talk. No, it is an economic populist message from the right that Trump supporters are eating up. And it just shows you that the center of the state and the state's poorest areas are, they want that message being out there. And the Democrats, for some reason, don't campaign on that out there in those areas.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday when, you know, I brought up the book by Thomas Frank's new book, Listen Liberal. And there's been some really good writing on this for coming up. I'll tell you the name of this other author. I'm spacing her name right now. She just had a fantastic book charting the history of the Democratic Party. One happened since, you know, basically the 1970s. But really, we've seen the Democratic Party kind of walk away from its long-term commitment from kind of working class politics, right? From supporting working families and so on. It does so in name, right? But the very point that that Thomas Frank makes is like, yeah, you know, we think about this, or they branded themselves as the party of the people, the party of the working, you know, working families, the party of the middle class. But really, the main constituency right now, right, in the heads of the Democratic Party, really has to do with professionals, like professional classes. You know, education becomes that marker. So, you know, when the new Democrats, when they look at central Pennsylvania, right, they see, well, look, there's no Ivy League schools over there. There's no kind of like private institutions that you have lower levels of you know, higher education. You don't have the kind of, you know, professionalization and the culture that you get in the city. And therefore, they automatically assume that therefore that's conservative. But in their heads, conservative means to them, right, is does not capture the actual, you know, like life on the ground in those communities. And this is just such a perfect example to that. So it might be true that the Democrat that could win, right, in central Pennsylvania, right, in that quote unquote T, right, is not going to look exactly like the Democrat that you see in Philadelphia, but that does not mean that therefore they're going to have to be conservative, they're going to have to be pro, you know, anti-abortion, that they're going to have to be kind of super religious. No, it's the Fetterman angle, right? I mean, Fetterman's the message that he brought was that kind of economic populism that I think really is exactly what you said. That is the future of the Democratic Party in this state.
Yes. And, you know, I'm not happy with McGuinty taking the Senate race.
No, never mind.
You know, she has horrible ties to the natural gas industry, oil and gas, and also, frankly, with Wall Street. I mean, a couple years ago, she was sitting in front of us at the Progressive Summit saying that money doesn't influence politics. She doesn't believe in that. And, you know, then in that primary election coming up, she took like $500,000 from this coal industry magnate in Pennsylvania from Western PA. And then she attacked Toomey on that. And then in the past like week and a half, the big moneyed interest from ARF and, you know, the union, the labor unions and stuff like that, dumped had a $4.5 million ad buy across the state of Pennsylvania. And ultimately that propelled her to a victory. You know, I didn't really see, I thought it was going to be closer than that with Sestak. I didn't see Sestak polling in what, the low 30s, mid 30s.
I know it was
32%. I thought it was going to be more of a horse race. And that really goes to show you that Fetterman did well. I mean, Fetterman probably pulled a lot of those votes away from away from Sestak.
Well, I don't even think it was about pulling it away from Sestak, because I think that there was people that went to the polls and kind of did what you did, right? They didn't just think about Sestak, looking at the candidates and they say, you know, okay, you know, we know who this guy Joe Sestak is, you know, what he kind of stands for. He likes to be kind of, you know, he wants to talk about being progressive, but, you know, he's also got some very moderate stuff, very kind of measured things. And
War hawkish,
you know. And look, I don't want to turn it into a session bashing Sestak, but, you know, because frankly, the one thing that you can always say for Sestak is Sestak shows up. I mean, I remember them. We had was students at Kutztown University, right? They had the polling place moved, and it got moved, so you had to walk basically 5 miles or something like that, 5 miles to get to the polling place. And the students got organized around that, and they've been resisting it. There's a legal case that's coming up in that. And when they were this past year, when they were organizing another march to the polls, you know, Sestak came. You know, Sestak came and walked with us from the university to the polling place. And, you know, and he is that kind of guy, and you got to give that to him. But at the same time, he does not represent the kind of working class values about economic populism that I think is really catching fire, in part because of, you know, the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and the other thing I want to say too is, like, you know, it was interesting also to following some of the, I was watching MSNBC just last night, some of that, and, you know, the McGuinty campaign was making national news, right? In part because kind of the Democratic establishment, just like you said, just dumped tons of money into this race, and really got behind Katie McGuinty. And that was, I think it did have a huge difference. And for me, I was going back and forth. Some things, you know, okay, maybe Katie McGuinty would be good on this. But, you know, I was reading this, you know, article from NPR State Impact, and, you know, basically charting out exactly what you said. And then going back to, you know, her appearance at the PA Progressive Summit, not this February, but the year before. Right. And hearing her saying that, you know, the natural gas industry is the key to Pennsylvania's future. Right. And, you know, that is just not where we need to be.
Yep. Another thing I want to touch on is how big Donald Trump won last night.
Boom. He won every county in Pennsylvania.
Yes. And did you see the margin that he won in Luzerne County?
No.
He won Luzerne County with 77.4% of the vote.
Unbelievable.
He took in 28,000 votes in that county alone. You want to know what Clinton took in there? She won that 52-46%, you know, a little bit more of a closer tie. She only took in 20,000 votes from there. Now, obviously, that's going to be contested. You know, it's going to be a lot different when the election comes up.
Sure.
But do you think this puts Pennsylvania in play for the Republicans?
Actually, I do.
November.
I do. You know, and I'll tell you why. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, we've been voting consistently blue since what? I believe 92 or 88 when George H.W. Bush was running. Mm-hmm. And it looks like there's a possibility that might change in a few more months from now.
I agree. And I'll tell you, this is what was going through my mind last night is I don't know if you got a chance to see Trump's, you know, kind of victory speech last night. Did you see it?
I did not.
Okay. Well, one of the things that, you know, he's
I done fell this- asleep. I got up at 9:30 last night and the primary was over. Boom. That's it.
Yeah. I just, you know, I sat there like an idiot in front of the TV watching every little piece, you know, just like, duh, you know, kind of, you know, I got my Twitter account up and kind of following it on Twitter and can see some of the chatter there, but then, you know, following it online, or I mean on TV. And in his kind of victory speech, he really hit hard on something that he's been toying with so far. And it really has to do with the trade issue and the trade agreements. And so it really does look like his strategy going forward, like in an election against Hillary, is going to be run to her left, right, on trade issues and economic populism. And, you know, again, you line up what we just saw in Pennsylvania in terms of the results. We look at the strength of Fetterman's claims and the fact that Bernie Sanders, you know, for all practical purposes, he's out of the race. I mean, basically he's out of the pursuit for the presidential nomination, I should say. Even in his statement last night, Bernie Sanders came out and basically said, you know, we're going to push for the platform of the party, but did not even talk about, you know, a path towards a nomination at this point. And we can argue about that. But the bigger point being is that, you know, that does put Pennsylvania, I think, in play for the Republicans, precisely because he's going to hit hard on that economic message. And, you know, Clinton is, you know, in my mind, is what's going to happen. She's going to pivot right towards the center, which is going to be away from those economic populisms, especially after Sanders is no longer in contention. And, you know, that leaves a big opening for counties like Luzerne and kind of big sections of Pennsylvania.
No, and this was our former coal region, you know, a natural gas area that went big for him. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And man, he won big last night. I wasn't expecting him to sweep all five states. It looks like this tag team between Cruz and Kasich is not going to work after last night. I mean, Trump will take the nominee within the next month or so.
Well, you know, and you know, this is, you know, what blew my mind about that whole little alliance there is that they basically went public with it, right? So I mean, so now it looks like this, you know, just exactly what Trump called it. Trump called it collusion, right? It looked like collusion, and people are going to be pissed off about that. And that's only going to bolster Trump's claim, because he's just going to keep on hitting him on that. You know, I do think that, you know, when the race, when we move to Indiana, when we see what happens next week, I mean, that is going to, you know, that could potentially decide the entire race right there. So, so we'll see, but it does look like we're talking about, a Trump Clinton election.
Yeah. And then, anything else you want to talk about last night? I saw that Mark Cohen,
talked about painting. That. Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of potted plants and paintings are going to need a new friend in the house.
Yeah,
Mark Cohen, outside of Philadelphia, longest serving legislator in the state, was ousted yesterday.
He was,
which is not surprising. The last time Jared Solomon ran, he only lost by a couple percentage points, and this time he came back and won by 13 or 14 points in that race.
Yeah, so I mean, and we're talking about a solidly Democratic district there too, right?
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
In my area, it looks like John DeSanto won last night. He looks like he might be my next state senator, mm-hmm. Because of how gerrymandered this system is. And then one of Scott Wagner's big contemporaries won right across the bridge from me, mm-hmm. And Mike Regan. So that's someone you should be watching out for in local politics over the next few months. This guy is a staunch conservative. He took over $10,000 in campaign cash from Scott Wagner in a four-way race. And Regan, you know, he was one of the people that helped get the medical marijuana issue through, but about every other issue, he will not be on our side with. So,
yeah, I'm curious about your, I don't know if you followed this at all, like in the 8th Congressional District, you know, with Shaughnessy Naughton and Steve Santasiero, Santasiero, is that how you say his
name? Yeah, Santasiero.
Yeah, did you follow that at all?
Not really. I know it's been getting really dirty the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been getting it got really, really nasty, and there's kind of claims going back and forth, and there's just kind of some weird stuff that was going on. But I just thought that's going to be interesting because, Senator Sierra is basically, he got the same kind of support, right, from kind of establishment Democrats that we saw in some other races. Shaughnessy Naughton, she came very close to getting the nomination last time, but it's going to be an interesting race to follow because, of course, you got Fitzgerald, who's, he's out, he retired, but now Fitzpatrick.
Wait, no, your retired. Congressman.
Well, you know, yeah. He's so he retired, and his brother is now kind of running, which has also given him all the name recognition and so on. It's going to be really interesting to see what the race is going to shape up to be. So,
one more thing. Mm-hmm. Looks like Kevin Boyle's bid for a Senate seat mm-hmm. fell flat last night. He lost by a few percentage points.
Oh, he did. So
Yes, he did.
That'll be interesting.
So the Stack Boyle fight continues in the Northeast Philadelphia, this time Stack, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. I'll tell you, it's going to be really interesting. And I think, you know, I think one of the things that that we're going to have to follow up with is I think we should really get in touch with the Fetterman campaign to talk a little bit about where this goes from here. Because, I mean, his showing was really remarkable. And it's going to be interesting to see how he imagines, or he and his campaign imagine, to moving forward, to really kind of make good on that, that whole notion that, you know, want to stand up for these communities that have been, you know, have been left behind. So,
and what I think he said, we're not done. So maybe he challenges Casey, Pennsylvania's second famous groundhog, in a couple of years.
Yeah, that might exactly. That may be. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Casey primary, to be perfectly honest with you. So.
Get him out there on the issues.
Yeah, right. He's got to pop his head up and say something. It's just, you know, I mean, you know, again, this is probably completely unfair, but I always think about, you know, Casey just standing there as pretty much a placeholder, that, you know, he's kind of running on his name, and he's certainly not been a progressive candidate. But he does represent a particular wing of the Democratic Party that believes that the only way that you win Democratic seats in states like Pennsylvania for the Senate is to be conservative and to be basically be a moderate Republican. So, you got anything else coming up this week? Anything on the agenda?
No, not really. Just waiting for the House to get back in session in the next couple of weeks. I'm trying to see what happened with the I think Boyle's team lost last night, so mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out if he's going back to the House or not.
Oh, pretty cool. All right, well, this is so anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Nope, I'm done for the day. It's time to go to sleep and get
yeah. Well, all right, I'm off
today. It's my first day off, and I got a lot of cleaning to do around the apartment, so
There you go. Yeah, I've got my house is kind of like, you know, half upside down with all sorts of work we're doing on the house right now. But so I'm trying to get some stuff done. So listen, this has been a special edition of Out to Coop Podcast. This is a project of Raging Chicken Radio, Raging Chicken Press. We're usually published a podcast. We drop it every Tuesday. And now that we are on Podbean too as well, I want to encourage everybody out there once again. Yeah, I know I'll get the broken record and Sean's going to accuse me of being NPR here. But if you get a chance, you know, if you really want to support progressive media in Pennsylvania, go to RagingChickenPress.org and click on the support and membership tab. And become a member for as little as $5 a month. It really helps. And we would really want to establish our goal for this next year to be really established Raging Chicken Press and Raging Chicken Radio as a sustainable enterprise so we can actually begin, paying people like Sean and kind of other people that are doing the amazing citizen journalism work that they are. So, Sean, a great idea for today. I'm glad we did the postmortem, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Yep, looking forward to it. Talk to you later.
All right, man. Talk to you later. We're out. Cool. That was great.
All right. I'm trying to look for the, I'm trying to find, fuck, can't find it. The, the.